The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by Parmar and our friends at the Masters Law Firm. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio today with Derek Bailey, Michael Sussman in the GOAT, Avon Coburn. West Virginia falls at Penn State 38-15, the 60th time in series history, which is kind of funny because we haven't played them since 92, with over 110,000 people in the building to see West Virginia play. It's the largest crowd ever to see the Mountaineers play, ever in football history. Let's start with the defense, guys. Well, first of all, now it's officially college football season. Yes. We had a slate, a full slate the entire weekend. We had some good games, and we're going to get into some of those scores later, especially in the Big Ten, who had a rough weekend. But let's start with the West Virginia defense. What were your thoughts defensively for this team, especially after last year with it being a disaster?
Well, I'm going to start because I was so hard on our defensive coordinator, and they played hard. They played hard. I mean, their quarterback wasn't as good. I don't think our scheme was great. And I guess you can tell the difference in talent, but I think they played hard the entire game until they couldn't.
Yeah, I thought the defense was a pleasant surprise. I mean, they weren't as bad as we expected them to be. They held Penn State to 14 points in the first half. That's respectable. They dropped an interception. The guy dropped the interception in the end zone, and they dropped an interception around the 50-yard line. But they made some nice plays. I didn't think they were as bad as we expected them to be. And quite frankly, I thought they played well until they just were on the field for way too long and got tired.
Yeah, the defense exceeded my expectations. Lee Koba is going to be playing on Sundays. He covers so much space sideline to sideline. And Sean Martin was active on that D-line.
I was disappointed I didn't hear Bartlett's name more. I thought he would get a sack or two, but he didn't get a sack.
He got beat up, and I was watching him get dumped. I mean, he's a little – he should be a linebacker coming off that edge, and he was getting dumped by them big offensive linemen. Yeah. But, I mean, he played hard too, man.
The one dude for Penn State supposed to be a top five pick.
And I think he grabbed him and just
he chewed him up and spit him out a few times.
I thought the defense played okay, although – you know, they gave up 146 yards on the ground. I'm okay with that because I thought Penn State's attack would be on the ground, and they were not able to move the ball like I thought they would. The problem for me was the fact that you had a now, granted, he's a five-star kid, but you had a new starting quarterback out there who threw 21 to 29 for 325 and three touchdowns. Right. I mean, and the defensive backs were, again, the scheme was off. They were in the bad positions. You weren't putting pressure on the quarterback because you have coverage issues on the back end, which falls back on the defensive coordinator, who makes about $227 an hour to coach football. So I'm not going to – we ran the numbers. After taxes, it's about $227 an hour to put that product on the field.
Yeah, that was terrible. The scheme, I mean, I think the guys play hard for their coach, but I just don't think he put them in the best positions – like you said, five-star guy or not, first, I would have lit him up. I would have lit him up as often as we possibly could because we wasn't getting there with four.
You got to confuse him.
That was the bad thing. I noticed on second and longs, they would rush three guys. Come on, what are we rushing three for? It's second and long. You know they're going to pass. At least send a little bit of pressure. Don't give him all day back there to throw. Anybody can pick you apart when you got all day.
Especially in those crossing patterns.
And the guys would just be running free, and he could just stand there and wait on them to get wide open. You can't cover forever. Yeah. You got to make him move around and make him uncomfortable, and I don't think West Virginia did a good enough job on second and long and third and long of that. Now, on first down, it seemed like when they would pass, they got good pressure, but I don't know. You got to send guys.
And that long touchdown early was such a backbreaker. If Burks can get there a half second early, he might pick that up.
That was a great throw and catch because he could have easily dropped that ball because if you watch, it was just right over his arms. And it was a great throw, great catch.
Is that the best wide receiver group we'll see this year? with our schedule.
Overall skill, yes, including the running backs coming out of the backfield as part of the passing game. I think it's the most that West Virginia will have to account for.
I was trying to think of Oklahoma. I didn't see Oklahoma, but I'm sure Oklahoma's got some dudes, but I don't know if they'll be that good.
I thought Beanie Bishop played well. You know, he's a new guy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Burks is going to give you what he can. And, hey, I want to tip my hat to the defensive line. I thought, you know, for a bunch of guys, when you look at the roster and it's like the scene in Major League, who are these guys?
Right.
I thought they played well.
First game for some of them against a team like that. Like I said, the defense wasn't as bad as I thought they would be. I thought they were a pleasant surprise.
The defense kept us in the game, in my opinion. I really feel that they played hard and just kept us in the game where, again, it looked like it could have got ugly early.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There was a few drops on their part that would have kept the drives going, but, I mean, that's expected to happen first game of the season. I just feel like they really, really played hard the entire game. I mean, my gripe is on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to. So defensively, if you're going to grade this defense out, what would you grade them at? And what needs to improve?
Well, I mean, obviously our secondary needs to improve. They would get a C for me. C, I mean, maybe even a B because they played hard. I mean, they had one really explosive play. I would give them a B minus.
I would give them a C because I thought they would be an F, but I'll give them a C, which is much better than I thought. And they dropped two interceptions. You know, they gave up the big play. There was some things they can improve. Well, obviously the secondary's got to improve, and the pass rush on long down distances needs to improve. I don't know why we're rushing three guys, but whatever. They need to improve in some areas, but I'll give them a C.
A C from me, too. The playmaking of Koba and Trey Lavin at the linebacker mm-hmm. spot was huge. Need more pressure on the defensive line, and you got to make those winning plays, to your point. Can't drop those picks.
Yeah, earlier I was thinking it was going to be a B-, but to your point, Derek, dropping the picks,
right.
you've got to give your team an opportunity to get some turnovers, to do some things. So for improvement, I just want to see more pressure moving forward. So we're going to take a break, but don't forget, later in the show, we're going to be joined by Michael Baker. They call him the touchdown maker from the 93 undefeated team. And we'll do all that when we come back here on the Touchdown City Show.
Encarna Digital Marketing is a proud sponsor of the Touchdown City Show. For websites and your digital marketing needs, visit digitalmarketingwv.com.
The most wonderful time of the year is here. Of course, I'm talking about football season, and your local Parmar stores are ready. Hey, it's Dave Allen. Whether you need to gas up the tank, grab a bite to eat, or stock up on snacks and drinks for the tailgate party or for your own couch, Parmar's got you covered. Parmar is the official store of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission and of Marshall University. Happy football, and remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Have you been injured at no fault of your own? The Masters Law Firm is on your side and here to help you in your time of need. With decades of experience, we've successfully helped clients recover hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation. Our team understands the toll that injuries take on victims and their families, offering both legal expertise and unwavering support. Visit our website at themasterslawfirm.com or call us today at 304-342-3106 for a free consultation. Your journey to recovery starts with us.
Get more bank for your business with United Bank. Whether you'd like to start a business, purchase commercial real estate or equipment, United Bank can help. We support business development throughout our great state, making business and consumer loans and fueling opportunities. Small business owners' dreams come true and larger corporations grow. What can we do for your business? United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Proud to be united with the Mountaineers. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
To hear more of the Touchdown City Show, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. This week, talking West Virginia, Penn State. And let's just get right into it, guys. The offense, West Virginia's offense. First of all, I think the offensive line faced a really good defensive line and held their own. I think Nestor struggled a little bit, but I mean a little bit, But overall, what were your opinions on the offensive line play yesterday? Personally, I thought they did pretty good.
I thought they did well. I think they should have gave them more opportunities to use their talent as far as, you know, running and going after it. But I just don't feel like I got enough. I mean, rushing the passer, I thought it was very average. I'm sorry, blocking the passer was very average. Running the football, I think they did well when they had opportunities.
I thought they played well. It's a very tough opening opponent. I thought the offensive line ran the ball well. They ran very well last night. They gave up a couple sacks, but I mean, you're going to have that every now and then. They got a couple holding penalties. Sometimes you're not going to win every single down against a team like that. I thought the offensive line was – I thought it was very good, actually. I liked what I saw from them.
Yeah, good work from them. There were holes in the running game. Garrett Green had some clean pockets, didn't always take advantage, but I thought the O-line was fine.
C.J. Donaldson, our guy. Great ball game from him. Unfortunately, didn't get to the minimum amount of touches, in my opinion. I'm looking at 20 to 25 touches per game. What did you guys think from C.J. last night?
I thought C.J. was fantastic. I appreciate it, too, that he never quit. Even on the last drive, the last touchdown drive, he was going all out. He didn't get the ball enough, flat out. I'm sorry. A guy like that against a team like that, he would have ran the ball all night long for me. He was getting almost 5 yards a carry. He would have got it all night long. I'd have gave him 30 touches if he would have wanted it. I mean, y'all, you can't run the kid in the ground, but if he'd have told me I'm good.
He's getting paid. He'd run him into the ground.
If he'd have told me I'm good, I'd have kept giving it to him. He'd have carried it 40 times if he wanted to.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think CJ, he played well. I've seen him. They put him out in receiver a couple times, caught a pass or two. I just really wanted him to get 25, 28 touches and just really allow him to just use his body to just control, you know, because they're not going to hit him coming in the fourth quarter, but we're talking CJ right now.
And that's a tone you got to set early. There was those first couple drives that Neil Brown was going more to Garrett than he was going to CJ. That's got to be from jump.
And the thing was, is his first carry of the game, very first play of the game, he's 9 yard carry. Mm-hmm. Then what does West Virginia do? They throw a pass, a screen pass,
and dropped it.
I mean, give the kid
terrible
the
screen pass.
But oh yeah, but I mean, give the kid the ball. He's your horse. I mean, he's like you said. By the time the fourth quarter rolls around with that offensive line and him, they're not going to tackle him. They're not going to want to. They're going to be tired. I just don't understand the philosophy.
Unfortunately,
there.
I don't think the backs are going to get the carries because of the RPO game. If you look at the stats, Garrett Green had 15 carries yesterday. And then historically in the Neil Brown era, they've had statues. The quarterbacks have never carried it more than five times. Mm. This guy's got 10. He took 10 carries away from somebody. Anderson had 5. And CJ didn't get to 20. He had 15. So that's where they've got to make a decision. Are they going to play this RPO game and let Green run the ball, or are they just going to ride the horse?
In my opinion, they played a lot of 12 personnel or 11 personnel with a tight end in the game, which means they can block that backside, which would eliminate Garrett Green running at all. Allow this dude to just get out there and pound the football. Like, to me, We missed the boat. I mean, we could have really done something in the run game yesterday, just really setting the tone for America. Saying, hey, we got a guy.
That's what I mean. I completely – you have to give the kid the ball. He's your best player. He is your best player. Your best player needs to be out there and get the football. 18 carries is not enough in a game like that. He had all offseason to rest.
Right.
In a game like that, 18 carries is not enough, and you grind the clock down to protect your defense that's not very good. So, I mean, it's just he didn't get enough touches.
What'd you think of the play calling?
Play calling was terrible. It, to me, I just felt like we called more pass plays and took the ball away from the best player on the field too much. And especially fourth down, where, you know, we calling trick plays. I mean, who cares if it works or not? Go get the freaking first down. Like, what are we doing?
The play call that stands out to me, and as soon as I saw it, I lost it. Not the trick play with Nico in the game. Right. The first one. It was first and 10 at the Penn State 49-yard line. You're down 14-7, and you run some reverse, I don't know what you call it, to try to set up some, look like a screen to me, and they blew it up for a 5-yard loss. you're first and 10 at the 49. If you hand the ball to Donaldson and he just gets 2 yards, you're second and 8, not second and 15. I don't know what that play call was, but the play calling's poor anyway.
Sometimes I think Neil Brown reacts more to the emotion and to what he thinks fans are criticizing him for than what logically makes sense. You had the 4th-and-1 against Pitt, the infamous 4th-and-1 last year. And I think in the back of his head on 4th-and-5 and 4th-and-7, even though those weren't the same situations, he was like, I'm going for it this year. I'm not making that same mistake twice. Seemed a little forced.
And we missed an opportunity to kick a field goal.
Well, I feel like with the play calling, I think he knew that he had to go for it on 4th down and 3rd downs and try to, you know, keep the – because it was going to become a possession game. And it worked in the first half, although they missed a few field goals. But, you know, overall, I think the play calling was pretty poor. You know, and one thing real quick, we got about 40 seconds left. I want to get your opinions on Garrett Green. Can this kid get it done the way he performed last night? Got about 30 seconds.
I don't think he can. I don't think he is the answer for us. I just don't. I don't think he can.
No, put in Nico.
I think it's two running backs in the game right now, a running back at quarterback and C.J. Donaldson, way too one-dimensional. I don't think he's the guy.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Michael's report from the locker room. Don't forget, the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week, the phone number, 304-9696-TDC. Again, it's 304-9696-TDC. And we'll get back with Michael's report after this.
The Touchdown City Show will be back right after this.
The relationship between a lawyer and a client is based on trust. You have to make certain that the lawyer you hire has your best interests at heart. This is attorney Ben Salango. Just like the Mountaineers are fighting hard on the field, the Salango Law Firm will fight hard to win your case. Whether it's medical malpractice, automobile or trucking accidents, hiring an experienced lawyer will make a difference in the outcome of your case. When you hire my law firm, you get results, not excuses. Check us out at salangolaw.com.
Ball Automotive Group is here for all your automotive needs. We have 3 locations with over 300 new vehicles available and a great selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. Ball Automotive has been an integral part of our community, which we have proudly served for over 20 years. With over 1,300 online reviews, you'll see why our customers keep coming back. To see what Advantage Toyota of Barbersville, Ball Toyota of Charleston, and L&S Toyota of Beckley have to offer, visit us online at ballautomotivegroup.com.
It's Michael Sussman with this week's Touchdown City Locker Room Report. The West Virginia Mountaineers fell to 7th-ranked Penn State 38-15 Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Here was Mountaineer head coach Neil Brown at the podium afterwards.
All right, tough opener. They're really good, very talented. I think defensively they're probably as good as we'll see all year. A lot of NFL players. Tip your hat to the quarterback, first start. Thought he handled himself well. I'm zero discouraged with our guys. They've got a team that's capable of making the playoff, and we got a really good football team. I think time will tell.
Penn State drew first blood 5 minutes into the game when Nittany Lion wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith beat WVU defensive back Aubrey Burks for a 72-yard touchdown. Pass defense was an issue throughout the night for West Virginia as the Ears allowed Penn State freshman Drew Aller to throw for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, the first one was disappointing. You know, we hadn't covered and we fell down. But we didn't play well enough there. You know, I think that's fair, Mike. Anytime you give up that many yards, and there were some guys that were free. You know, you watch the game. There were some guys that were free. We're going to have to cover better. You know, if you look at who we play, there's some really good passing teams. And if we give up that many yards passing, it's going to be tough sledding.
WVU tied the game at 7-7 on a 1-yard C.J. Donaldson run early in the second. That's the last time the Mountaineer offense would score until coming up with a garbage-time TD late in the fourth. Junior quarterback Garrett Green took accountability for the offensive struggles post-game.
Obviously, they're a really talented defense. They got a lot of talented guys, you know, 4-4-4, 20, but, you know, it just comes down to me not making enough plays. That's what it boils down to, is actually making enough plays today.
On a positive note, the junior gunslinger connected with NC State transfer Devin Carter for 6 completions and 90 yards.
Yeah, you know, he's a freak athlete. He's really, really, really talented. So, you know, as an offense, and my job, I just got to do a better job of getting him the ball early.
Overall, Green was 16 of 27 for 162 yards passing. Here's Coach Brown on West Virginia's performance through the air.
You know, we didn't execute in those third and fourth down situations in passing, but I thought our production was good. Garrett made some plays. You know, I think we dropped one ball there on a dig late in the game, but thought our guys got open. They're really good at corner. I mean, they got two guys. One of them's going to be a first-round pick. The other one's pretty good. I thought our guys got open. We've got to be able to hit on a couple of those. You know, you're going to, when you watch the game, the one of the fourth downs and one of the third downs when the game was kind of in limbo there, we had them open, and we didn't get the ball to them.
From the 9-10 mark of the second quarter onward, Penn State outscored West Virginia 31-8.
We had a chance to win. We come out and it's 3-and-out, and it's 14-7. We get a 3-and-out, and we get an explosive run, and we got a procedure penalty. You know, a receiver was moving back. And here's the thing. Like, we had some opportunities. I think we had two balls bounce off our chest, you know. And so those are plays, man. They're missed opportunities. You got to make those. You got to make them.
Despite the loss, there were some standouts on the Mountaineer defense, most notably linebacker Lee Koba, who led all players with 13 tackles.
Well, he's the leader over there on defense, the emotional leader. He's the physicality leader. I thought he played well. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes if you watch it on video, but he won in a couple one-on-one rush situations. I felt like, and I said this to you guys early, is like, I felt like he was going to be one of our most improved players, and he played well. He belonged, man. Like, he's belonged. There's a bunch of really good defense players out there wearing blue jerseys, and we had a couple in white, and he was one of them that belonged. I thought our D-line did some good things, too.
That's Neil Brown at the podium in Happy Valley. Speaking of WVU head coaches, Rich Rodriguez was a winner again on Saturday as his Jacksonville State Gamecocks blew out East Tennessee State 49-3.
So we got to win. Best you can be after two games is 2-0, and that's where we're at. Now we know the competition gets a whole lot harder, but I'm happy we got to play a lot of people.
The Colorado Buffaloes and Coach Deion Sanders stole the national headlines Saturday, upsetting number 17 TCU 45-42. Deion's son Shador Sanders stole the show, setting a Colorado single-game record with 510 yards passing to go along with four touchdowns. Here's Coach Prime in Fort Worth afterwards.
Wonderful game, wonderful beginning, intriguing, passionate, purposeful. It was all of that. We had some guys that singled themselves out with their playing and their playing ability. A lot of guys you doubted. One of them from HBCU. I think he had 510 yards passing in a Power 5 football game, and he happened to be my son, and I'm proud of him tremendously. Defensively, we had some letdowns, but the guys came and made the plays when they needed.
That'll do it for this week's Touchdown City Locker Room Report.
Tired of sorting through those piles of paper statements? Summit Community Bank has the solution. With our easy-to-use 24/7 online banking, you can access e-statements anytime, anywhere. Say goodbye to cluttered mailboxes and hello to a more organized and secure banking experience. And the best part? It's completely free. So switch today by visiting mysummit.bank. Summit Community Bank, proud to provide you with service beyond expectations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Hurricane. You know, Gene and Ryan built their business the old-fashioned way by making friends. There are no gimmicks or games at Walker, just honest, fair deals, and their method is so straightforward, it may shock you. Friendly service and a huge selection of inventory with more arriving daily. When you're ready for your next vehicle, take the short 20-minute drive from Charleston or Huntington to Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Hurricane exit of I-64. Walker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, making friends one deal at a time.
As believers in this game, we are also owners of it. Through a community-wide commitment to a smarter game, we can help ensure that programs, that kids, that communities, that together, we will lead the game of football toward a stronger future.
Protect and perform like the pros. Use Riddell. Contact Casey Turley, your West Virginia Riddell sales rep, at 304-552-5960. Again, that's 304-552-5960.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church studio. And as promised, we're still celebrating the 30th anniversary of the 1993 WVU regular undefeated. And joining me this week is Mr. Mike Baker, and I believe they call him the touchdown maker. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, Anthony, I'm great, man. How's everything going down in West Virginia?
It's beautiful, and it's sunny. Still a little humid down here, but, hey, man, it's football season.
Yeah, you can't beat that. You know, you look forward to football season, and, you know, hopefully we're looking forward to a great season. Started out a little bit rough last night, but hopefully we can shake that off and get on the winning ways.
Absolutely. Well, you know, obviously – at the top of the segment there, I mentioned it's been 30 years since you guys went on that magical run in Morgantown. When someone brings it up or even says something like that, what are some things that instantly flash back for you?
Oh, man. You know, when they talk 30 years, I go instantly to the 27 seniors that we had on that team. And three of those guys was captain, Rich Braham, Timmy Brown, and Mike Collins. And couldn't ask for three better captains to lead that group of guys. Everybody had a different way of leading. Timmy being a vocal leader, Rich being more of a follow me type leader, and Mike Collins was just that guy. He was going to do everything in his power to win. And it was easy for the rest of the seniors and the rest of those younger guys, which we had a lot of great talent that came in that year, the Aaron Beasley's, Logan's, Charles Emmanuel, Van Washington, some of those guys, those younger guys that came in on that team and was a part of something special. And so not only the seniors, but, you know, the younger group that was following us, man, it was unbelievable. And the coaching staff and Coach Neal and all of his words, you know, we still carry his words and we laugh about those things because it'll stick with you the rest of your life. Those who stay will be champions. And, you know, we won the Big East no longer. But, you know, that was something that we all set out to do. And we wanted to win a national championship. I thought we got shorted by not playing in the national championship. Well, we played in the national championship, they call it. But we should have played Nebraska outright. We would have smoked Nebraska. Mm-hmm. So that's just part of it, man. So that was the NCAA ruling. And hey, it happened. We got beat by a better team that night. But, you know, you still can't take away 11 wins in a season.
No, absolutely not. One of the things I wanted to bring up to you and get your reaction, you talk about great wide receivers and great wide receiving groups. You know, obviously, you look at the Stedman Baileys and the Tavon Austin group and the David Sills, Gary Jennings group. But one of the groups that tends to get missed, probably because a lot of people are maybe too young or to remember, but a lot of times people don't bring up your group with you and Ed Hill and Jay Kearney and even the young guys, Rashawn Vanderpool. That group, as I've been studying this season, has to be, and now I've started to bring it up, like, man, this is one of the most underrated receiving groups of all time at West Virginia. How are we missing this?
Well, it's we had a two-headed quarterback system, and Jake Kelsner and Darren Studstill. You had three senior receivers, myself, Eddie, and Jay Bird, Jay Kearney. So, and we all had our way of doing things. Ed was an underneath type guy. Jay was a down the field type guy. And I was more of a downfield intermediate type guy. A lot of shake and bake, more wiggle. So if you get the ball in my hand, I was going to try to do everything I could to get into the end zone or make a first down or whatever that may be. I was definitely going to catch the ball. That was one of my biggest things. I pride myself on catching every pass that they threw. And at the time, you know, the system itself wasn't a spread you out type system. Although we had three wide receivers on the field, we were more of a run first team. And when you got talent like a guy from right there in your hometown and very young, a freshman, Robert Walker, you know, you got to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach Neal and those guys were smart. If you can't stop the run, oh, well, we just run the ball. And we was a prideful team. We worked hard. And that front line, Rob Sock and Braham and all those guys, they worked extremely hard. Calvin, all those guys, they just busted it, man. So we had zero time for jealousy. We were more of a let's win the game. We don't care who get the limelight. We just want to win as a team, and that's what we did. So when you talk about the Tavon Austin, the Stedman Baileys, and the David Saunders and Sean Formans and all those guys, the greats, I mean, everybody that I think that's, you know, put a helmet on and showed the pads and wore that WV on the side of that helmet, from Reggie Rimmer, Calvin Bell, Grandis, and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of great receivers that came through that program, and I think that every class had a group that can say and be prideful of and say we were the best,
mm-hmm.
you know, without having any outlandish arguments or things of that nature. I think that if you had the opportunity to play at West Virginia University, I think that you're a great football player. You know, the Zach Abrahams and all those guys were, you know, hardworking, and I pride myself on working hard and like I said, trying to catch everything that they threw, return the balls, whatever I had to do to win, I was going to do it to win. And I wanted to teach those younger guys behind me, hey, this is how you go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You prepare yourself for the game that we have to, you know, play on Saturday. Now, the thing about that, I thought our practice was harder than the games.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going into that season, the 93 season, having myself and Tony Caridi had lunch at the Boston Beanery. And he wanted to do an interview, something of what we're doing right now, Anthony. He said, all right, Baker, lay it out. How are we going to do this year? I'm predicting 7-4, whatever he said. I think it was 7-4. I said, man, we're going undefeated, bro. And he goes, what? Undefeated? I said, yeah, man. I said, we're going undefeated. We're going to start out by beating Eastern Michigan, and we're going to take one game at a time, like Coach Nealon say. He said, but you got it. Miami coming in here, you got Pittsburgh. Yeah, I said, man, we don't worry about that. We just take one game at a time, but we'll go undefeated this season.
Mm-hmm.
And to nobody's surprise, you start out with the win, and you continue to, the momentum start to grow, and you bring in an undefeated Louisville team, which was loaded with talent. But we had more talent and we had more heart, and I think we had the 27 seniors, the best 27 seniors that to lead a program to do it, along with what I said earlier, having two different quarterbacks. You know, that was – I don't know how Coach Nealon did that. Both of those guys deserved to start every game, but that wasn't a distraction to us at all.
Mm-hmm. It just seemed to work out.
It worked out.
You've mentioned the man, the myth, the legend, Coach Don Nealon. He's on the record saying that the 92 team, he thought maybe was a little bit more talented, but didn't get the breaks. But this 93 team was talented, but just we got the breaks that year. What do you remember about his coaching from that season and how he helped you guys keep it together throughout the course of that season?
Well, the one thing I really loved about Coach Nealon, when he got in those practices, it was all business, and when he spoke, we listened, and we did our job, right? And then momentum started to, you know, the snowball effect, it started to get bigger now. So he allowed the captains and the seniors to really have control of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just stood back, presented it, and let us go. And, you know, I did a thing called roll call. So every day I come out of the facilities ready to practice, I would call my guy's name. You know, it was Jay Bird. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Eddie. Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Zachary. Vanderpool. You know, and so on. And Skinny. You know, so it was like something that we created. And that was our thing. So if, say, for example, I didn't come out and do the roll call. They were like, man, get your roll call going. So yeah. It was like one of those things where, hey, that's what we're doing. And so now the defensive backs got their thing going. And then you got the linemen got their thing going. So everybody got their own little group formed on a team, but we all working to one cause, and that's to win every weekend. So we did that. And those things like, you know, coaches sitting back and telling you, hey, you can do this. And this is how we're going to do this. And then, you know, with the coaching changes at that year, Doc became the receiver coach again, which I was ecstatic about because Doc coached Reggie Rimmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to, you know, be as good as Reggie Remmert, but I just didn't have Reggie Remmert's size and speed. Right. In my mind, I was better than Reggie Remmert every day I, you know, went to practice. Every day I played in the game, I was better than everybody. You know, that's just me. I was 6'5", 260, I used to tell guys. You know, and in reality, you 6 foot and you 170. You know, but that's the mentality you got that, you know, go out with every day when you playing those opponents. You know, it's like everybody is beatable. But if you believe in the same thing, you got one vision, it's easy, you know, and it's just like we worked hard. And I did an interview right after the Louisville game, and they was like, you know, it was a great game, but, you know, the thing about that game is, man, I know what our defense is about because I practice against those guys every day. And it was hard work in those practices. And it was no let up. And if you're having a bad day, somebody going to let you know you had a bad day. If you're having a great day, somebody going to pat you on the butt and say you're having a great day. But it was no animosity toward any of those guys because that's the what, you know, we expected each other. We expect each other to come to work, go to class, do the right things. You know, that team, I guarantee, didn't have any nonsense off the football field. Mm-hmm. Coach Nealon didn't have to worry about his players in trouble. You know, so it was like everybody holding each other accountable. So that was the biggest thing, that the coaches allowed us to be ourselves, and they allowed us to, you know, take some kind of take on the responsibility of being a coach on the field, as well as being coached by great coaches off the field and on the field.
We're talking to Mike Baker. We're going to take a commercial break, and for those that you listen to the podcast version, we're going to continue this conversation. But for the radio listeners, the guys will be joining me here in the studio. We'll do that.
Hi, welcome to Huntington.
Hi, I'm calling about the asterisk free checking from your commercial. How long does the free trial run before fees start?
Oh, our asterisk free checking is always free to open and never requires a minimum balance.
Really? Never. Like, never ever?
Yep, never ever.
That's actually fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you for banking with Huntington.
Learn more at huntington.com/checking. Welcome to Huntington.
It's Mountaineer football season at Tony the Tailor. Tony the Tailor is the Valley's preeminent men's clothing store. Master tailor Anthony Parazino has assembled an extraordinary combination of world-renowned vendors and support staff with one goal in mind: to exceed your expectations. In addition to hand-tailored clothing, Tony the Tailor also sells quality WVU apparel from Johnny O to show your support for the Mountaineers. Use promo code LETSGO for 20% off WVU apparel at bestmastertailor.com.
Hey, Mountaineer fans, are you game day ready? When you want to show your West Virginia pride, Alumni Hall is your ultimate shopping experience. The best and largest selection of apparel for the family. Nike, Champion, Columbia, Cutter and Buck, plus gifts and accessories. Alumni Hall, located in the Shops at Trace Fork in South Charleston, or shop anytime at alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Mountaineer fans shop.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome back to the Touchdown City Show, presented by Parmar and our friends at the Masters Law Firm. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, the GOAT, Avon Coburn. And it's now time for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. The phone number, 304-9696-TDC or 304-969-6832. Trivia question this week. This is an easy one. What was the last year West Virginia played both Pitt and Penn State in the same season? Again, what's the last year that West Virginia played both Pitt and Penn State in the same season? If you know the answer, text the answer into 304-969-6832 for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. And for the record, Alumni Hall is officially open in Morgantown, West Virginia now. So they have a Charleston location and Morgantown. Go and see them. Tell them that your friends from the Touchdown City Show sent you. All right, Michael, what's up with the sports headlines this week?
Coach Prime does it. Colorado upsetting number 17 TCU 45-42 on the road. Shador Sanders sets the Colorado single-game passing record. Just your thoughts on that game.
I watched some of this game. Man, it was crazy. Up and down the field, back and forth, guys running free, interceptions. It was wild. Hunter's spectacular for Colorado. Yeah. The defensive back wide receiver. He is spectacular. He's a fantastic player. I'm going to pump the brakes on the excitement for Colorado. I mean, great win. They're 100% better than they were last year. All kudos to Sanders.
He's got receipts now. You better watch out. Yeah,
but I'm going to pump the brakes still on them. I'm not sure how great they are. We'll see as time rolls by. But, you know, it's a great win for Colorado because that last year they were just putrid.
I mean, you're comparing two totally different
teams.
I would say I was totally amazed from it. Just totally. I mean, I love what Hunter, I'm not pumping my brakes on him. I think he's going to win the Heisman. If he can continue to do what he does, he's going to win the Heisman.
I said the same thing. I thought he could be a Heisman contender. I thought it was a great win for Colorado. And, of course, the media loves it because who can they talk about this week?
Dion
all week long.
You're going to hear it all week long.
Yeah, good win for Colorado. Good stuff.
Volume 4 of the JT Daniels series started yesterday. The first quarterback ever to start on 4 different teams. It was for the Rice Owls, which fell to Texas 37-10. How about JT?
I didn't really watch very much of this game, but I mean, you know, pretty much same result that he got last year. He threw a couple picks. I know that. They got crushed. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, 149, 2 picks.
I'm not surprised.
I didn't watch it.
You know, I hate to kick a guy when he's down.
It's sad, but yeah.
It was.
We got $800,000 of our money. Yeah, kick him.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, it is true. So he looked like the same noodle arm that he was last year. So take your $800,000 and have fun at Rice.
Yeah. Looking like the Big 12 is in need of the reinforcements that are coming. It was a terrible day yesterday. Texas Tech lost on the road to Wyoming. Baylor did as well. What happened?
I didn't see the Texas Tech Wyoming game. Texas Tech is a team that I thought would be really good. I do not. I have no idea what happened in that game. Wyoming is a hard place to play because it's above sea level. Baylor, on the other hand, is a team that I thought, you know, they may struggle. We all probably assumed they would struggle a little bit. But to lose at home, they were like a 30-point favorite, 25-30-point favorite against Texas State. Mm. I mean, what that coach is probably now sitting there on the hot seat with Neil Brown, whose seat's hotter right now. I mean, I can't believe Baylor lost to Texas freaking State.
Well, I know why Texas Tech lost, because they were looking to come to Morgantown because they have our number. Like, they're going to beat us every time they come.
They're like, that's a win.
That's a win. So, yeah, that was tough. I watched a little bit of that game. That was hard.
I was kind of shocked to see Texas Tech open on the road at Wyoming for a night game, but I don't know what their arrangement was. But it wasn't a good day for the Big 12 because you had TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor, West Virginia all go down in ball games. But, you know, hopefully next week the Big 12 will turn it around.
Rocco Becht, son of Mountaineer standout Anthony Becht, had a good day yesterday at quarterback, 10 of 13 with 2 touchdowns for Iowa State. Good to see some Mountaineer lineage playing well.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. That game I didn't see was on television. I didn't get to watch any of it. I don't know if anybody televised that or not.
I'm sure it was on Plus or something.
Yeah, it was probably on somewhere. But it'll get a little bit tougher next weekend. They play Iowa. That'll be interesting to see how he does against them. So, but good for him. Good start for his career because that's his first ever start.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I love it. I love the fact that young Becht, and Becht was an animal. I actually was watching my 2000 Boston College game before then, and I was like, and they start talking about how you know, I'm excited. I'm glad he had the success.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, knowing Anthony, I followed him through Facebook and followed Rocco. And, you know, he was a stud in high school. I think we talked about him here a few times and had some decent offers, and he ended up at Iowa State. Why he didn't end up at West Virginia, I don't know. But
he didn't get recruited, that's why.
I mean, but, you know, everyone takes their own path, and I'm happy for Anthony and his family. I mean, you know him better than I do. I know him on a small level, and he's just a really good dude. And I'm happy to see Rocco succeed. And I hope they pull off the win next week. Yeah. You know, good for him.
That'll do it for the sports headlines. Anthony, I'll go back to you for the Duquesne preview.
Well, you know, one thing that we left out of that was the Fighting Rich Rods rolled yesterday against East Tennessee State, like 49-3.
Now, let's not bring up Rich right now. Let's just wait.
I'm telling you, hey, this is going to be the first year that a coach leaves a team to go to another team during the season and does better than the coach that was there with a whole new – bringing his staff, and they're still going to win
mid-season,
more games.
So what, by I'm October 1st, he'll be here?
I'm calling it. We're going to go get him.
Reed is already looking at the old house. It never sold.
Yeah, Reed is like, yep, okay, we're moving back in.
Yeah, they rolled yesterday. And, of course, man, I got fired up on social media. People don't like you talking about Rich Rod. They get upset. But, you know, again, family friend Xavier Bosley up there starting as a redshirt sophomore, so or redshirt freshman. You know, I was watching – I kind of napped a little bit, but yesterday.
It was a snooze fest of a day, really, for games. There wasn't a lot of high-quality games.
Yeah, so West Virginia, Duquesne next weekend in Morgantown. I think it's a 6 o'clock start. You know, the Mountaineer fans like to drink all day, so they can – if you don't start before noon, you're not drinking all day. You know what they say?
Right.
So they'll have a start, and, you know, obviously a good weekend if you want to see, hopefully, West Virginia win. But, you know, I don't know about the Dukes – here's what I want to see. I want to see some improvement on defense, and I want to see total domination. I think we talk about this every year when this game comes up on the schedule. And they've performed Towson, Long Island. You don't want to struggle, and you want to get guys in that are not usually going to get to play. So I need to see some Nico time, and I want to see the freshman running backs in the game. And I want to see guys get in that I'm probably not going to see a lot of for the rest of the season. So I mean, I think obviously West Virginia is going to win, but I just want to see the young guys get in and perform well. That's all I want to see.
For me, I want to see, like you said, domination. I want to see domination up front. I want to see pancakes. I want to see these guys. I want to see the game where CJ, 5 carries, you know, 120 yards, out of the game. Now everybody else is doing what we need to do. That's what I want to see. And I want to see us playing a cat defense. And what does that mean? Cat defense is I'm a line up in front of this cat and he's not going to be able to move. Now that's a part of it. But then also I want to see us play zone on the string to where when they run in the zone, we move to be able to get that as well. So I want to see domination on up front.
I mean, West Virginia is going to win the game, but I agree with you guys. It's just dominate the game. Get it over with early. Put CJ in bubble wrap over there. I mean, 5 carries, 120 yards sounds good to me. Just win big and show some improvement on defense, maybe your pass rush, and, you know, hopefully in the passing game. I want to see improvement in the passing game. I want to see some downfield hits instead of these little bubble screens and stuff.
Yeah, I want to see Green deliver the ball confidently on time. I want another receiver to get into the mix. Hopefully Cortez Bram gets going and the local kid Preston Fox. And it's just all about execution. The pass game needs to be crisper.
Obviously, we all experienced it last night, people freaking out about Neil Brown. Are people hitting the panic button on the season too early, or is it a carryover from last year where they didn't even want him around anymore?
I had a guy tell me who is actually a big he's a part of the donor board, and he said they're going to win 10 games this year. I was like, okay.
He was drinking.
I mean.
So to answer your question, no, I don't think they have.
I don't know why everybody's panicking. We knew what we were going to get. It's been this way this is the 5th year of it. What's anybody expect? It is what it is. He's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any worse. It's going to be the same.
It climbs over. We're just running around in circles. I don't know if there is an expectation, you know.
Yeah, the expectation is the expectation. Well, we're probably going to lose. It's probably going to be bad play calls. I'll tell you what, one thing they did improve on, there wasn't a timeout out of a dead ball last night. I was thrilled.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you guys. I think, honestly, you know, obviously West Virginia ran into a buzzsaw in Penn State, but I still think this team could potentially win 6 or 7 games if they get things cleaned up. So we shall see, but for the guys here in the studio, I'm Anthony Lewis. Thank you guys for checking out the Touchdown City Show this week. And don't forget, make sure you follow us over on your favorite podcast platform. And you can find all that at touchdowncity.com. I'll see you guys next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.